Hey, my name's Sherry, and I am most definitely this thing or person or being or have the existence of an addict. No matter how long I have clean, no matter how long I've been in the program, I still have that thing called addiction. And I could theorize, I could take up this whole time to theorize or explain the medical indications of that, et cetera, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that today. I have a background full of trauma, just full. And I don't want to visit that today. I have visited it a lot. I visited it in treatment. I visited it in these rooms. Enough. Enough. Enough to have it pretty well figured out. And I would have been coerced into taking drugs as a child. I was not necessarily one of the babies that didn't have a say so in the matter. I don't believe that I was introduced to NA grade drugs in utero. I don't believe that. I don't think so. And I would have been trafficked as a child. This was not a one-time thing. These were isolated. It was isolated for quite a while. It was chronic. It wasn't, oh, I was trafficked one time and I became an addict. And that's not to say that, for someone who experiences, lesser amounts of trauma are, that they're not prone to whatever, Oh, there could be so much naysaying in these rooms. It's tough to maneuver around, but I was chronically sex trafficked as a child, endured other types of abuses as well. And one of my traffickers, I do have some very important things on my trauma timeline. And people say, well, why didn't you just leave? Why how didn't you know? I was born into it. Right. This wasn't something that, like, I was in my late teens or 20s and I was sex trafficked because I was on drugs. I was conditioned and born into that, like many people are. And one of my traffickers in my late teens, when I did try to leave, I am now, because of that, a survivor of attempted vehicular homicide. I am a survivor of that. There are parts of my toes that are missing. I had reconstructive surgery on my foot, and I was by then in my active addiction. My first drug of choice was cocaine. And he was trying to sex traffic me. There's different kinds of trafficking, and I'm not going to try to, this is not an educational thing. But he was attempting to sex traffic me, but I was already caught in a web of other kinds of trafficking, domestic servitude and things like that I had been born into. I was able to wiggle free, but my other traffickers helped me wiggle free of that. So, I went from one right to the next. I was just trapped. My whole life, I was just trapped with no way out. And we didn't have the knowledge back then that we have now. So I ended up enlisting in the military. I got clean. I got clean. I enlisted into the military, and it was Operation Iraqi Freedom. And that was that's a whole nother layer of trauma that I'm not going to get into, but I was given an honorable discharge. So I am a disabled army veteran as well, and it was in times of war. After my military service, I thought I'd broken free. I thought I'd broken free of a lot of things. I didn't even know I was stuck with my traffickers still. And everything got worse. Everything just got a lot worse. I was being trafficked more. I was more addicted to drugs. Everything was a million times worse. And my body was falling apart. I caught hepatitis C. I was losing routes to use. I couldn't, very much, my nose, my gut, everything. Like I couldn't. I was just losing routes to use. And I moved. I moved to try to get away from my traffickers, and I was trying to get clean. I'd been introduced to NA because I had a lot of consequences. And In the worst of my active addiction, I was told by a counselor, and he said this seriously, that I was taking enough drugs to tranquilize a fucking elephant. And I don't say that to boast or to be proud or anything. He said, literally, that literally is what I was doing. That's how much tolerance I have, which is a hallmark of addiction. And by then, I was kind of like, am I an addict? I have a problem, but am I an addict or not? I don't know. But I'd been introduced to NA. Where I was at that time was 2 hours south of Detroit, and it was the northern extension of the Bible Belt. That's where I was raised, and that's where I spent the first 36 years of my life. So it was really fucking religious-y. There were even religious cults around that area. A lot of really phony, fake shit going on in the rooms. A lot of abuse, a lot of religious abuse. And of course, I didn't handle that well. I ended up in the psych unit. That was my response to religious abuse. I ended up in the psych unit and I relapsed. And then, like I said, I was starting to come to even before getting a lot of like long-term recovery or long-term abstinence. I was starting to realize what was happening to me, but I didn't have full grips on it yet. And my last boyfriend, who was an abuser and someone who was actually trying to traffic me, they come in different masks. They can come as lovers, they can come as friends, they can come as, landlords, employers, bosses, and they don't work alone, they work in groups. And they are very much right here in these rooms. And I'm not trying to scare anyone, but to be aware is to be alive. There are a lot of abusers and a lot of very dangerous individuals in these rooms who have untreated and undiagnosed personality disorders. And that's no discrimination or prejudice against the mentally ill. I'm mentally fucking ill. It's a reality. It is a reality that there are dangerous, unsafe, and unhealthy people in the rooms of recovery. But he threatened to sex traffic me, and I'd already fought my ass out of that. And so I committed a string of burglaries. My liver was failing. He was threatening to sex traffic me. I couldn't quit using drugs no matter what I did. I tried a million different ways to stop using. And at the end of my addiction, I didn't have a drug of choice. I had a concoction of choice. It was heroin, speed, crack, and benzodiazepines. As fast as possible, as much as possible. And my organs were failing. I was in multiple organ failure. It was like the day before I got arrested, I was told I had maybe a few months to live, and I got arrested the next day. The day I got arrested, I couldn't put my boots on. Couldn't put my coat on. The police had to do that for me. And I spent 4 years in prison. I detoxed in a jail cell. I did a medical detox in a jail cell. I did another medical detox in a prison cell on a, the mental hospital of the prison, and I was in seizures on the floor. Yeah, I was hallucinating and I was having auditory hallucinations, and that's part of benzodiazepine withdrawal. That has not followed me, thankfully, and I remember the day that, I started saying no to my psychiatric meds, and that's not for everybody, but I thought that was my clean date for a really long time, but it's not. I needed those medications at that time. And it's not an outside issue and it's not controversial. If you're taking a medication as needed, as prescribed, as directed, you're fucking clean. You're clean. And it's not an outside issue whatsoever, but it took me a long time to get with this, because in 2019, I was, and this was years later, and I'll back up, I'll go back and forth a little bit, but in 2019, I would have been in a very severe, caught in a very severe case of quid pro quo, where it wasn't my history catching up with me. It was predators pursuing me where I went. And when you've been in the system like that, after you've been in the system, you're even more vulnerable. You're even more fucking vulnerable. And I slipped on alcohol in 2019 while under duress. Now, my original clean date is January 2011. So for a really long time, I was telling people, I relapsed, I relapsed, I relapsed. And only recently, by working with more trauma-informed and real trauma-informed individuals, both inside and outside of 12-step, I've been in therapy for over 25 fucking years. So only recently, by really being able to get to the bottom of a lot of this, is I've been able to reclaim my clean date, which is sometime in January of 2011. So I'm 15 years clean. Thanks. And how that happened was, a safe detox. I couldn't get clean on the streets. I had a safe detox, but I also had some knowledge of Narcotics Anonymous in my head, right? So like the basic text, the stuff I'd heard in the meeting, still like that, all that stuff still mattered. Don't use, hang on, just don't use just for today. It gets better. Like all the shit in my head, take it easy. All this stuff in my head. But I did all the model prisoner shit for 4 years, and I went to treatment. I did groups, I did classes, I was working the steps, I had a sponsor, I was going to meetings behind the walls, I started going to college, I was studying criminology. And part of that was, I don't want this shit happening. Whatever's been happening to me, I don't want it to fucking happen anymore. And I got out. And I didn't know that I was going right back to my traffickers. I didn't even know. I still had no idea. Even with getting my feet wet into a criminologist, studying criminology, I still had no fucking clue. And because it's so intricate and hard to detect. And that's why. It's not because people are fucking stupid. Because it's sneaky. These motherfuckers aren't smart. They're criminally sneaky, and that's not a mark of intelligence. That's a mark of criminality. So, anyhow, I had my kid. Even through all that, I had my kid. I was 5 years clean when I had my kid. His dad ended up relapsing, and that relationship ended very quick. I was engaged to him at that time, but that ended very quickly. I stayed clean. He relapsed on heroin. I stayed clean. I kept working the steps. I'd already formally, cycled through the steps with the sponsor. Was doing all the things. I'd done 90 and 90, had a sponsor, was sponsoring people, had all my literature. I had all my tool. I had my tools. And I continue to study psychology. That is one huge gift this program has given me, is some of my cognitive abilities have improved fucking majorly. And I continue to study psychology, but like I said, the predators and the traffickers just took on different faces. They took on people in these rooms. They took on coworkers, bosses. I've had to pursue all kinds of, I've had to file lawsuits. Oh my fucking God, gone to court. Like, this isn't me being crazy. This is literally, there's documentation. There's a paper trail. And the reason why there's a paper trail is if something happens to me, they know where to look. Okay. I've been in therapy over 25 years. I get neuropsychology testing. I get all kinds of assessments and evaluations and shit like that, all the time. And so eventually I became disabled and completely. So I don't really have to worry about work, and I don't have to continue college now, but I'm three courses away from my bachelor's of science with a concentration in forensics and criminal justice. I may go on to complete that, but and I think it was, my kid was about 2 years old. I found, secular and agnostic meetings and stuff like that. And that's really when my life changed a lot. I still go to mainstream meetings. I still do. I'm not afraid of the God language, or I'm not afraid of religious. I deal with religious extremists in almost every fucking 12 step. I don't have to be afraid. I'm not saying they all are, but they're there. And it just kind of, it's hilarious to me when they'll like try to like do some narcissistic antagonistic bullshit where they're like, God, God, God. And sometimes they do that shit to intentionally try to provoke you based on, AA big bully bullshit. And it's not cute. It's really not. It's disgusting. It's pathetic. And like I'm saying, I've never said it's all of them. Never have I ever said it's all of them. Matter of fact, there are no atheist terrorist groups. They don't exist. There are zero atheist or agnostic terrorist groups anywhere in the world. So, my life really changed radically when I started coming into these rooms. And, while I don't really share all the political views of everyone here, it's not a political program. We do, we will call it a spiritual program, and that word is open to interpretation. It's open to adaptation. It's open to, translating it into other words or other definitions, whatever works for the individual. And spirituality, it is not definitively synonymous with a belief in a mystical or supernatural higher power or a god whatsoever. I'm an atheist. I've always been an atheist. I'll always be an atheist. I live the program as an atheist. I'm 15 years clean and recovering as an atheist. I've worked the steps in various other programs. I sponsor in other programs. I've worked the steps in other programs as an atheist. And those 12-step fellowships don't even have secular or agnostic. Matter of fact, one of the 12-step fellowships I belong to, I'm the only open atheist of about 200 people. And it can get a little sticky. It can get a little rough. But life is awesome though. And life got really good. It got really great. I quit smoking cigarettes. I'm a long distance runner. I track my nutrition. I don't, caffeine and nicotine are not NA grade drugs, but I don't consume either. I don't consume either of those things. The caffeine drove me to heart failure. I said, fuck all that. That's not everybody. That's not a problem for everybody, but it was a problem for me. And the relationships thing, that's not a problem either. But this last year, I was affected by natural disasters. And I was severely disoriented, severely destabilized. And one of these motherfuckers got a hold of me again. It wasn't a toxic, abusive relationship. I wasn't even in a state of mind to be able to consent to a relationship or sex. But one of these motherfuckers got a hold of me, and fortunately I was able to escape. I did endure some victimizations, and I have a dog bite. I have to have another surgery on this dog bite on my mouth. I was able to stay clean through that. I've had surgeries, all kinds of things I've been able to stay clean through. They put 100 stitches right here in my face while I was awake, and I was able to stay clean through it, And at the end of that motherfucker offered me a relapse. For sure he did. He offered me some fucking drugs. And again, because there was proof, evidence, and a paper trail, I was able to escape with, a crime justice center. So please look out for your friends. If they've been affected by natural disasters, please look out for them. We can be so destabilized and disoriented, and even mental health crises can deem people incapable of making good decisions and consent. But today I'm very stable where I'm at in my life. I'm very oriented to my surroundings. I have a house now, and property, money, and prestige ain't everything, but it can be a sign of progress and recovery. We could be poor living on the streets, and if we're clean and live in a program, shit can be good. But my life is so good today. It's so good today. I get to keep my sexual and emotional sobriety. I get to keep my sexual abstinence, which has been seven. I've been 7 years sexually abstinent. I actually get to keep that as well, and I've done that very much on purpose. I don't need a relationship right now. I'm on very neutral ground with that. I'm not a codependent person, but I'm a survivor of a lot of different kinds. So many different kinds. I got my kid. My kid's right in here. He's spoiled. He's comfortable. He's happy. And these are the gifts of the program, y'all. These are the gifts of the program. My peace. That's the number one thing. Like, I have so much peace in my life today because of this program. I really do. The peace, the comfort, the interdependence, the autonomy that the secular rooms have given me, where I can really be who I am. I don't have to be a closet atheist. Man, nothing. The therapeutic value of one addict helping another is truly without parallel. And I owe my life to Narcotics Anonymous. So thanks for being here, and thanks for hearing me out.